Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are back, and I got a text message just a couple minutes ago during the break. Actually, four text messages, three of them about how much people enjoyed having Jim Cott on. That doesn't surprise me at all. The fourth thing, are you going to take text messages and phone calls this morning? And the answer to that is yes. We're going to start almost immediately. The number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Open lines, you can talk about. We haven't talked that much about the Twins so far. You want to do that? We have four text messages already about the Viking draft. We absolutely are going to get into that next. In terms of we're a little light on guests today. Glenn Mason will join us. We do not have P.J. Fleck. Glenn will join us right at 10:30, and then Matthew Hurd about 10:45. A lot of opportunity for conversation, your phone calls. Mike and I look forward to that. Mike, while we're waiting for some callers, let me cover a couple of things. What are the chances the Vikings make some sort of deal either before or during the draft?
Well, I had a talk with somebody inside the program yesterday, so to speak, and said they would know about the Vikings, and they said I kind of went through the positions with them, and they said offensive line deep. You can probably might not need to use your first rounder to get good offensive linemen, unless if somebody's there, they've obviously got somebody in mind that they're targeting there. Defensive line is deep; they don't need defensive linemen. Really, so somebody, if a great defensive lineman comes up at their spot, somebody might be willing to deal with them. And Rick Spielman loves multiple picks. So I can't think of a draft in recent years where he hasn't made trades, multiple trades, to get more picks. Running back, they think, again, they can get somebody in the lower rounds because they need somebody to go with Dalvin Cook. They said there's some good safeties involved in the draft that they like. Harris, obviously, they just signed. Harrison Smith is there. They're in good shape there. Receiver, they're not crazy about. They don't see a lot of good receivers sitting out there. Quarterback's just okay. So I think they'll come out of this with a whole bunch of offensive linemen and at least one running back. And I don't think they're that particular about what round they get them in. So I think they're open to trade is what I was hearing.
I'll turn my mic on. The question was phrased, what are the chances of making a trade? I'll start with 100%. It worked out from that. I'm with you. I was trying to think back of any draft in the last years that we've had the same Viking crew in charge of things. I couldn't remember one in which they didn't make a trade. Rick Spielman loves to make deals. He loves draft choices.
His big thing is multiple picks.
Yep.
And that if you get enough picks, you're going to hit on enough of them. Now, here's the other interesting part, and I think this is going to be interesting internally. One of the things that happens is coaches lobby for guys they want. So if you're Gary Kubiak coming in, and now you're in charge of the offense, what do you want? You want as many offensive picks as you can get. Mike Zimmer sitting over there, the head coach who loves defense, now begins that whole, not that they fight against each other, but everybody wants as many picks for the people they coach as possible. And then Rick Spielman has to be the referee in that. Here's another interesting thing. Talking to the folks there, three Minnesotans I would expect to get drafted based on my conversation with the Vikings. Blake Cashman.
Yeah. The stock's going up.
Time. Yep.
Yeah.
Conley, the kid from Eden Prairie, who went to Wisconsin and played.
A high school teammate.
And both of those two are walk-ons.
Yep.
And then Amani Hooker, who went to Iowa and played safety. Yep. The Vikings have looked at him, but all three of those, they're not going to be first-round guys. But I find it interesting that both there's three guys on the board, and that two of them were walk-ons, which tells you a whole lot about the exact science of football, doesn't it?
Well, and it says something this morning. I saw, maybe it was Sid's column. I was reading a whole bunch of things online last night and this morning. Someone is Cashman as high now as the late second round. This for a guy who did so, I mean, Gopher fans knew how athletic he was, but there were whole periods of time he hardly played for the Gophers. But then near the end, he got a chance to get on the field. People knew how good he was. But I don't think they knew quite how athletic he was until those workouts and some of those numbers that he turned in.
Yeah, they couldn't get him off the field at the end.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't be denied. We'll talk to Glenn Mason about it later. But he just kept splashing and splashing and splashing. And then same with Conley at Wisconsin. All of a sudden, he's blocking a kick and returning for a touchdown in the Big Ten championship game. And Hooker's got, I think his brother's the one that's a great basketball player was at North Dakota. So they've got that. But, you know, Cashman, too, was, you know, he grew up being as a basketball player and thought he'd be a basketball player. I tell you, that skill set, if you get big and strong and you can play basketball, you can play football.
Well, no doubt about it. Yep. I think we've got some evidence of it right there in Cashman and other players like Cashman. One statistic that stands out as you look nationally when everybody's speculating where the Vikings are going to pick, where everybody's going to pick, people have really drilled down on the lack of protection that Cousins had last year. And I think a lot of the focus was you cannot expect different results out of him until you do something to improve that protection. And whether it's in, you know, later rounds, the Vikings for years have been rumored to take offensive linemen, and it doesn't work that way on draft day. But somewhere in this draft pick, they probably need to get two guys who can play for them almost right away. And we know how hard that is for offensive linemen to move from college to the pros.
Yeah, and you just said, I think two is the goal. I think you're looking at trying to get two that can play right away. As you mentioned, that's a hard thing. We saw O'Neal come in at the end of the year. He was pretty good as a tackle. Took a while. Elflein played center there. He was able to get in as a rookie and do some things. He gets a variety of grades in the NFL spectrum as to how he stands as a center. Phil Loadholt came in and played as a first-round pick. Now, granted, he did have a lot of good players around him, too. I mean, that was a pretty good line that he came into, so he just had to do he was just one more piece. That's a tough position to forecast and a tough one to get them in and playing right away at a high level. Cousins talked, they had their off-season workouts, and so all these guys are in. Of course, Adam Thielen got the big contract.
Yeah.
Cousins said that, you know, it doesn't have to be, I just need a couple seconds. He says, so I'm not going to overemphasize or lay it all on the offensive line. And he's had an interesting offseason. He spent time with Fran Tarkington, and he spent time really drilling down on what he can do. And I think that he's thinking schematically, if we can get a decent offensive line, change some of our scheme to move around, take the ball under center, all those things, we got a chance.
You know, Mike, one of the positions you brought up was center, and I can't forget a show we probably did 5-6 months ago, could have been a little less than that, but we were kind of saying to ourselves, whatever happened to John Sullivan? Almost mm-hmm. washed up, we thought, when the Vikings moved on and went to center. All of a sudden, Sullivan is playing at the highest level 4 years after he lives here, is playing in a Super Bowl.
Playing in a Super Bowl. I had a nice visit with him out there at the Super Bowl. I covered the Super Bowl. I had a nice talk with him. And he had gone to Washington.
Yeah.
And obviously, when the coach moved, he liked Sullivan enough that he brought him out there. And obviously, he connected, and Goff, he did have a big holding call in the Super Bowl when they were on the drive. But he's such a smart, astute, cerebral football player. He really gets it. You know, he was part of that Notre Dame clan with Kyle Rudolph and John Carlson and the defensive back. They had a bunch from Notre Dame, remember, at one.
Oh,
Harrison
sure.
Smith,
yeah.
You know. But really a smart football player. So that you, when you ever you talk to him, you go, boy, I'd want him on my team because he seems kind of like Matt Burke, you know. This guy, he's going to figure it out because he's going to study it and he's going to figure out what he needs to do to stay in the league. And he's become more than serviceable. He's become just, you know, a good veteran player.
Hold on to that thought about tight end because it fits in with a text message I got about 10 seconds ago. We're going to go to break here. As we do so, I'll give you the phone numbers. Well, you can tell we're talking. I've got a whole set of topics. Without Sid here this morning, it changes the dynamic a little. Mike and I get a little more chance to talk about a variety of things, and we'll do that right after this. But you are invited to join us. You've been really good on your text messages, 81807. Got a whole bunch of those, some of them just excellent. But we'd love to hear your voice on the air, too. If you want to call us during the break, that would be a great time. The number, 651-989-9226. We'll be back with that tight end question and any of your phone calls right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle this morning with Mike and Dave. All right, Mike, we're back. Phone line's still wide open. 651-989-9226 is the number to give us a call. That text message goes back to your observation on tight end saying, hey, I love Rudolph, but isn't it time the Vikings start taking a look at tight end? Some of the national polls speculate that somewhere in the first three rounds, the Vikings will indeed take a tight end.
A pass-catching tight end.
Yes.
So in other words, they're covered on the backside with Morgan, et cetera.
Morgan's
they
good
can block.
Yep.
And they can move fullbacks out there and do all kinds of things to play that position where you don't need it. But the Kyle Rudolph type, the tall, good hands, played basketball, all that stuff, Yeah, they need to just be thinking in those terms. And it never hurts to have two of them at the same time. And so I would not, I would not be surprised. They felt that that position as a strength was just kind of adequate this year going in. So I don't know what that means, but they thought they could get one. They didn't think they were big timers there.
All right, they've got a whole variety of topics here. I'm going to just kind of jump around. Any word on who the Vikings might be bringing in? Who the Timberwolves might be bringing in? Because it seems like all the other moves are dependent on making that first move.
Yeah, and they've talked to at least four people that we know of. Chauncey Billups and Calvin Booth are the only two that I know that were. Calvin Booth worked here for a few years, and he was always out there. He's about 6'11". You never really knew what he was doing. He was in the front office, but he's a quiet guy. And then he went to Denver, and obviously they've had great success. And he's trying to move his way up, so that's why they're interested in him. Chauncey Billups is a flyer because he hasn't been in the front office, and he's sitting out there working for ESPN, but he certainly is endeared to Glenn Taylor. And I think that, Dave, this is a really good question. So if you're Glenn Taylor and you're interviewing these people, what's the right answer for that person when you say, should Ryan Saunders be the coach or not? I don't know, because I got a feeling that Glenn's got an idea, and as Glenn's saying, look, he's going to be the coach. This is the way we're going. Can you handle it?
That's a rule of the interview, that changes the dynamic. We've seen that in this community a couple of different times when he said, yeah, you can be the head of things, but by the way, here's a couple untouchables. And I don't know if Chauncey Billups would say, I'd love the job, but I need to have the total authority to arrange things the way I want to see them.
In his case, he might be real comfortable with Ryan because he knows him through his through Flip, and they played the Pistons and the Timberwolves, so he knows him well. Chauncey might be just fine saying, yeah, Ryan would be just fine for me. But I'm just saying that when you cast that wide net, and a lot of these teams didn't take long to name executives, did they? I mean, you saw a lot of activity when this season got over. They're hiring, the Pelicans filled theirs. The Phoenix Suns filled one. They don't take long. So the good ones that are out there, you better act on.
All right, here's a question somebody asked me during the week, and I said, I don't know the answer to this. This was one person who likes Saunders and said, I think long-term Ryan Saunders is going to be a very solid NBA coach. But it said, say they brought in, Chauncey Billups. Say they brought in somebody who said, I want my own coach. I said, would Saunders go back to the role of assistant coach? And I said, I don't know.
I don't know either. But I guess the question is, what are your options, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to look at that and say, okay, if I don't do that, then what can I do? It wouldn't be completely, the flip side of that is you do it the other way around and Ryan's your coach and you bring in a veteran NBA coach. Now, then if it fails, that guy's going to step in. And I would think that would be a more likely scenario. With J.B. Bickerstaff and David Yeager sitting out there, guys like that, I would think
guys
that
with Minnesota
would be more,
connections.
And the irony is, I said David Yeager, remember we thought he was hired here. Well, they pulled the curtain under his feet at the end and said, we're going to name your assistant coaches, some of them. And he said, well, then I'm not taking the job.
Well, the person who asked me the question was asking about Yeager. I only gave half of it on the air. But the other half was, on the assumption that Yeager were interested and available, and I think the answer to that is yes and yes, said, and he's got a good relationship with Saunders. Is there any chance that they could work out a deal where Saunders would be like the key right-hand person? And I said, wow, you don't see much precedent for that, but I don't know. It's an interesting idea.
And after you get through all that, what's this team going to look like? I have no idea. Can you trade Teague in the offseason? Is there anybody that'll take that because they can get salary cap relief on it down the road? I don't know. But the dynamics of this team are just not good right now.
Question, Mike, not to interrupt you, was how much street cred does this organization have in attracting free agents or people looking and go, Minnesota? Nah, I don't think so. Too much up in the air with Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is look at their history. They've never been able. They had one year where they went transactional, and Cassell and Sprewell wanted to prove themselves. That worked for one year. By the next year, the head coach was fired because these guys had checked out again. So they have never landed a free agent that you'd go, boy, how'd they win that one, right?
Yeah, his name was Jimmy Butler. What happened?
That was a trade.
Yeah, I know.
Because he never would have signed here.
No.
We found out.
Because he didn't.
Yeah, because
he didn't. Yeah.
And he never would have signed here if he was left to his own devices, and you hate to say this, but he orchestrated that whole thing, and he's the winner at the end because Philadelphia's got a chance to do something, and he got exactly what he wanted out of it.
He got kicked out of the game last night, but they still won the game.
Why did he get kicked out?
Yeah, he got kicked out. Okay, we've got about 8 minutes till Glenn Mason joins us. Let's take a break here, and I'll give the phone numbers as we go to break. 651-989-9226. I haven't really talked about Twins yet. I got a bunch of Twins questions. We got a St. Thomas question. We got some more text messages up. I said we got a caller coming up on the screen. We'll be back right after this. Sports Huddle, Mike and Dave. We are back. We got so many good text messages. We could go an hour with the text messages. However, we got a couple of callers, and we will get them in before Glenn Mason joins us in about 5 minutes. We'll go first to you, Tim and Blaine. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, this is Ken.
Ken. I'm sorry, Ken.
That's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking about this Timberwolves situation, and I'm not really a pro basketball fan, but just kind of looking at it from afar, I mean, it seems like every year there's so much going on that is negative. You're firing coaches, hiring coaches, players don't show up for their training camp, and there's just so much going on that is not helping the team. And I'm thinking that it might be time for Glenn Taylor to sell this team to someone who knows more about professional basketball and would be willing to maybe get the team on the right track.
You know, one of the downsides of the NBA right now, from a fan standpoint, is you can have a terrible team and still make so much money.
Yep.
So there's nobody that wants to sell right now, and there's very few people that can afford to buy. And this would be an interesting time for Glenn, because I think he's obviously overseeing, in essence, the head coaching and the president of basketball operations. He's making the call on both. But I think he is still vested in this. I think he still loves doing this.
You know, Mike, one of the tragedies, the NBA is great right now. Mm-hmm. All around the country, if you've got an NBA team, you're having so much fun. The caliber of play is so high. Yep. The young people come in are so good. There's so many great veterans out there, so many great individual stories. It's like it's happening in a bubble. We're the bubble around which it's happening, and people here are kind of down on the Timberwolves, down on the NBA, and I wanted to go, are you watching NBA games around the country? The NBA is terrific right now. You could argue never been better, but it's passing this market by.
Yeah, and you hate to be in that position where you're selling who's coming to town.
Yeah.
Because that always tells the story as to how you feel about your own team, you know? It's like Rocco Baldelli didn't want to be on the media guy, because if you put the manager on the media guy, that usually tells you you're not quite sure you got enough good players to put on there.
All right, let's go to Skip in Bloomington. Skip, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Happy Easter, guys. A couple things that with the Timberwolves that I wish they would have hired Dave Yeager a few years ago instead of Tom Thibodeau. I think it would have been a better move. I like Ryan, but I'm not sure if the players will rise for him consistently every night and play defense. And a couple other things, how do they get rid of Jeff Teague is just plays when he wants to play. Reminds me of Randy Moss. Talented, but they got to pay him $19 million. They got guaranteed on him. Season ticket holders for us went up 50% or 45%.
Yep.
And now it's like they're a sinking ship again, and they've got to get rid of
Wiggins.
Wiggins, for sure. Okay. I mean, he's just dead weight. You know, I mean, I was going to say that's that boss for the.
Well, you can't trade Wiggins. Teague's got the big number.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Skip.
Yeah, and what was the other part of that? Anyway.
Well, Mike, part of it, he mentioned the $19 million. Forget about the $19 million. Seems like, I mean, it's more money than any of us will ever see.
Yeah, it's
like
relative.
It used to say it's like Monopoly money. It's so much more than Monopoly money. $19 million is a plausible amount to write off in basketball. There's so much money there. So don't like Jeff Teague for other reasons, but he makes a point. I mean, they got the Teague question mark, the Wiggins question mark. They got a pretty good starter who didn't play from January on with what looked like a relatively minor injury.
Covington, yeah.
I mean, Covington, what do we know about Covington? I think most people liked what they saw him, but they can't. So long ago that he played, they can hardly remember him.
How many times, Dave, though, do you see a superstar traded and you get multiple back? And it always looks good for a minute, right? Because you go, holy cow, you add all this up. It's good. You're always better off with the superstar. Now, you couldn't keep Butler. I understand that. But you're always better off with the superstar. The multiples.
You know, look at the Garnett deal. We got like six guys.
That's right. And you go, that looks like a pretty good deal. Yeah. Nothing. They never went to the playoffs the entirety of that whole run.
Al Jefferson was good, but in the end he didn't make us forget.
Ryan Gomes and Sebastian Telfair, and you go, this looks pretty good. Well, guess what?
One of these guys has got to work out. Well,
and Boston went and won a championship.
He sure did. We'll be back with Glenn Mason right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.